Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 2 in our teaching on the Book of Galatians, titled Shackled by Your Past. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
We'll be using your Bibles more as we get started. I think that's a pretty good idea in doing a Bible study, that we will be using our Bibles. So today we'll be using our Bibles a lot. Also, I want you to get your workbook out. And as you've got your workbook out, we will begin on the book of Galatians. If you've got a Bible in hand and your workbook in hand, and we are going to get started. And just remember, in this study, always bring your Bibles. We're going to be, a lot of times I put the scripture up on the overhead. Starting this week, though, I'm kind of getting a little more. I'm giving you a little transition to where we're going to be using your Bibles more. You'll read it out of your Bible, and I'm not going to put quite as much on the overhead. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for this day that you've created. We thank you for giving us this opportunity to be here on this day. Now, Lord, we do ask and pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, that by the authorities that's in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, which died so that the powers of darkness and rulers of darkness would have no authority in our lives. It's in that name that we pray right now that all the powers, rulers of darkness around us, around this place, would just be cast to the ground. We would have an open heaven here at this place on Father's Day. And Lord, you're our Father. So Lord, dear God, we just say Happy Father's Day. Amen. Happy Father's Day, God. You've got a bunch of children here, and we want to say Happy Father's Day to you. And, Lord, we pray that you'll be with us this day and teach us and let us go in power. And, Lord, just visit us today, and we want to visit you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's get started. In Galatians, this is our second lesson. The title of this one is Shackled by Your Past. A little review right quickly. Who was the writer of this book? The Apostle Paul, to whom the believers in Galatia. And the theme is the vindication of the gospel, the grace of God, from any mixture of law conditions which destroys the character of pure grace. So Paul writes the book of Galatians. The primary purpose is to give the understanding, says, hey guys, you're mixing law with grace. And what happens when you dilute something? It gets weaker. So if you dilute the gospel of the grace of God with law, what comes with the grace of God gets weaker. So the Apostle Paul was saying, don't dilute it. Don't dilute it with anything. Take it full strength. He also mentioned one place in Galatians that even the miracles, it appears, are beginning to cease somewhat. The miracles are not happening. And there again, he's approaching it with this problem. You're mixing law with grace. You're diluting the gospel of the grace of God. So the gospel of the grace of God is it's all about Jesus and nothing about me. So law is about me. So if you're going to have the gospel of the grace of God in its fullness of his power, it's not about us. It's about him and us worshiping him. So you get Christ here in full measure with no dilution. Nothing's diluted. It's in full measure. It's nothing about us. It's all about him. That's the reason the law, it makes us think we've done something great. That's the whole idea of it. Then we get him in the fullness. That's what Paul's writing about. He also introduces that of grace rather than law. The old covenant with all its regulations was made obsolete by the new covenant. It's in Hebrews chapter 8. We looked at that. It said the Judaizers embraced Christianity, but said that some of the old covenant rituals and rites, including circumcision, must be observed. This is the type of law that they were trying to mix. Paul, as he traveled on his missionary journey, sharing the gospel of the grace, many of these Judaizers followed him, teaching the necessity of keeping the law to one degree or another. They even went to Galatia, and that's the reason Paul, we find him writing to the church there. The more you read and observe this book, the more you will understand Paul's words. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now, what he's talking about, and I hope that you're beginning to see in this verse, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. It's important that you have to leave before you can go. You have to leave from trying to make yourself follow laws and rules. You got to leave that and jump into finding who is Christ. So Paul said, it just so happens that legalism is a type of working on you. If you really abandon yourself into grace, law has no place to be experienced. Can you hear me? So if you're having to legalize yourself in an area, it's because you're not fully jumped into who Christ really is. Because to jump into fully Christ, trust me, you're going to fully get wet. If part of you is still dry, that part of you is yet to jump in. Now, the era of the Galatians had two forms. The first teaching that obedience to the law was mingled with faith as a requirement for justification. And we went over that one. I'm going to move on. It's 15 till, and I need to boogie. Galatians, all right, do you see your workbooks? I mean, he's looking at day one in your workbooks. Shackled by your past. Look at your little workbook there. That's on page 23. We'll begin in 23 with day one. You'll also need to go ahead and open up your Bibles to Galatians. Chapter 1. Now, as we begin on day 1 in your workbook, day 1, Galatians 1, it says, mark every reference to time. Now, I put this one, if you've got your observation worksheets in the back of your notebooks, you've got those, you know, the one's got all the colors on it. Turn right quickly to your observation worksheets in the back of your workbooks, and you'll see there Galatians chapter 1. Now, on your overhead up here, I am going to show you right quickly on day one. It says, mark every reference to time. Now, in this lesson, it's important to understand chronologically what was happening as the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Galatians. Now, here it is in verse 3, chapter 1. If you're looking at your observation worksheets, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from what? This present evil age. Now, underline, highlight, or do something in your observation worksheets with this present evil age. I just highlighted it in red. Actually, it's the only color that I had in my PowerPoint that you could see, so I put it in red. Underline, this present evil age. Now, the Apostle Paul was living in a present evil age. Are we living in a present evil age? The answer is yes. Now, down through the ages in this present evil age, there has always been an Antichrist. You can say, well, Alan, I thought we were waiting on the Antichrist. Satan does not know the time, nor the day, nor the hour, nor the generation that Jesus Christ will come again. So Satan has had to prepare himself in each generation with an Antichrist. Some people said it's Hitler, some said it's this. And the people fit right up, just totally fit right. It's like each generation fulfills the last day call. Because some people say, well, no, it happened in 100 or 90 A.D. And then some say, well, it happened here. Well, the truth is every generation lines up to be that generation. Or can you hear me? So this day is just as evil of an age as it was Paul. Not only that, it's identical. Don't think it's getting any worse. It's just as bad. Can you hear me? We are in the same present evil age as the Apostle Paul was in. So Jesus Christ, is there an Antichrist being prepared now to step out on center stage? The answer is yes. Will he be the one? Don't know. Will he prepare one for the next generation if Jesus tarries? The answer is yes, he will. And he'll be fulfilling the scriptures of persecuting the Jews. And all of this will continue and then continue until God the Father says, this is the day that I will send my son. So we've got to understand in scripture, we are all that generation. Do you see in the spirit what I'm trying to convey to you? We are all that. We're just as much that generation as Paul was. We just don't know when God's going to push the button. So you can apply this scripture to you 100% the same way as, so Paul says, it's in a time here, this present evil age. Now let's go to the next reference here, Galatians 1. So I wanted you to mark that in your observation worksheets. Now we're going down to chapter 1, verse 13 in your observation worksheets in the back. For you have heard of my former manner of life. Underline that one. That's saying a specific, we want to mark every reference of to time in Galatians 1 and 2. So here's a reference to time. Paul says he had a former manner of life. My question to you is, did you have a former manner of life? Okay. So you want to underline former manner of life. Now it just so happens, you can say, Paul says that how he persecuted the church of God in Judaism. The only thing I can tell you, I say this to people, if you're into legalism, you are bringing reproach against the cross of Jesus Christ. Because right there, Paul was a Judaizer. He did the law. He was this. He was that. Listen, the reason we do so much law is because we don't understand grace. First thing people say is, well, Alan, you got grace means you can do anything you want to. And my answer is, that's exactly right, you can. That's right, you can do anything. But what happens is you get in the grace of God, your want to start to change. And I still do everything I want to. You just want to serve God. You want to serve Christ. You just don't want to serve yourself. But you got to let go of the law and you got to walk in the grace before you want to's are going to change. Former manner of life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church. If any of us in here are operating under legalism and the law, we are persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. We are the enemy within. You thought the devil was going to sneak in, didn't you? Devil doesn't sneak in. He's outside, but he does it through legalism. That's what the Apostle Paul. Now, let's just say in there. Let's go to this one in verse 16. To reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. Underline that one. I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. Period of time the Apostle Paul's referring to when he did not consult with flesh and blood. Something happened there. We're going to get into that real quickly. Galatians 1. Time. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Now you'll see that the Apostle Paul has two journeyings into Jerusalem. First time he goes in, he talks to a couple guys. And you'll see this one. Second time he goes in, he talks to the whole crowd. Now, verse 18. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem. Underline, then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem. That's a period of time. To become acquainted with Cephas. Somebody tell me who Cephas is. That's Peter. And stayed with him 15 days. Underline, stayed with him 15 days. Period of time. Now, it's important that we realize what we're doing here with these time elements. Let's look at this one, verse 21. In your observation worksheets, chapter 1. Then I went into the regions of Syria and All right, underline that one, because we see that he moved here, someone else. Now, look in your workbooks now down to day 2. You see day 2 in your workbooks? I know I'm having you move quickly, but I've got 25 minutes to take you from here to Jerusalem. In Galatians, day 2. You have now Galatians chapter 2. We're going to mark every reference to time again in your observation worksheets. Galatians 2, verse 2. Then after an interval of 14 years, you see that one, I went up again to Jerusalem. There's another. He waited 14 years and he went back to Jerusalem. Second Jerusalem trip. See, when we're reading this, we're thinking it's all happening the same day. The Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians here is showing you how this thing's working chronologically. With Barnabas taking Titus along also, it was because of the revelation that I went up. Underline, It was because of a revelation that I went up. Do you know why every one of you are sitting in here this morning? Because you got a revelation sometime or another and you went up in here. You're a whole lot more like Paul than you think. You're a whole lot more. Did you know that you had a visitation of the Lord? How many had a visitation of the Lord and you got born again? You know why you're here? You went up. You got a revelation to come here to get a revelation to go there. You see, we're moved by the Spirit by revelation. The Bible, Paul calls it glory to glory. We're moved. Paul was moved. We're going to learn that in this book of Galatians. Look here. Peter or Cephas opposed by Paul. This is in verse 11. But when Cephas or Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. Here we've got Paul speaking to Peter in verse 11, chapter 2. Paul speaking to Peter, he opposed him face to face. If you're opposing someone face to face, it must mean that you're not saying the same thing. So we're going to see why that happened. Now, you see day 3 in your workbooks. Say, yes, Alan, we see day 3. Look at day 3 in your workbooks. And it says, read Galatians 1:11 through 17. So we're going to turn. You can do it in your observation worksheets, or you can do it in your Bibles, either one. We're going to read Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 17. And here's what we're going to ask ourselves. When did God set Paul apart? As we're reading the scriptures, I want you to look at that. When did God set Paul apart? What was he going to do with Paul? What was he going to do with Paul? The next thing is, we'll compare this passage with Ephesians. So I'm going to read out of a King James Bible, if that's okay. You'll have your observation worksheets if you want to look in that. The New American Standard and any other versions will be just fine with me. Now we want to start in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 11. Now let's watch this. Don't forget those questions. When did God set Paul apart? What was he going to do with Paul? Think of those two things. Verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Are you there? How many see that one? Okay. Paul is preaching a gospel that he did not receive from a man. So we have to say how and when and where did he receive it. He will tell us as we go down through the scripture. For I neither received it of man, verse 12, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of who? Revelation of Jesus Christ. Since you got to understand that the Holy Spirit of God had been given out 20, 25 years prior to this, Paul had this Holy Spirit of God within him, and Paul was getting revelations through the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's one thing for us to sit in here and being taught the Word of God, and there's another for you to get the revelation of the Word of God. Now, if you're just taught the Word of God, you'll tend to be legalistic. If you get the revelation of it, you walk into the grace. It's hard to walk in grace of what you don't have revelation of. Do we need the Holy Spirit? Come, Holy Spirit. We really need you, Holy Spirit. Only thing we know to do, Lord, is to study till you come. But what happens is like a train wreck. When you study the Word of God, you read the Word of God, and you're looking at the Word of God, and you read the Word of God, all of a sudden there's a spiritual train wreck. The Holy Spirit slaps you upside the face. Wow! I just saw it. Wow! What is this? You have what I call a spiritual train wreck. And you go to somebody else, you say, can you see right here what this says? And they're looking at you like, well, yes, pretty good. What's the difference? Revelation. Now, what's revelation? Revelation is when your spirit gets it. Learning's when your soul and mind gets it. So that's when we say we want to go from here to here. We need spiritual dropsies. We need to fall out of here into here. And that comes through the power of the Spirit. You can't do it from being nice. You can't get it from being mean. You can't do it any way but say, Holy Spirit, come upon me. Give me revelation of Jesus Christ. That's our prayer. Every prayer you pray. I open this prayer, Lord God, give me revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Now, boy, I got off there, didn't I? Now, verse 13. For you have heard of my conversation in times past. How many see times? I don't know what the New American Standard says. Does it say in times past? Verse 13, for you have heard of my conversation in former manner of life. Okay, former manner of life. That's past tense. Times past or past tense. Former manner of life, times past. In the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. So anytime through a religious spirit that I am persecuting somebody, I'm wasting the church of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, and profit in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Now remember, we're looking about when did God set Paul apart. Verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Do you see that one? When did God set Paul apart? According to verse 15. In his mother's womb. You see that? Paul was set apart before he was even born. He said, well, Alan, I don't understand that. You don't have to understand it. First thing to get in Revelation is quit trying to understand it. Just say, Paul was set apart before he was born. That's all you got to say. Now remember something here. You're not much different than Paul. Look at it. Verse 16. To reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Uh-oh, there he went. Isn't that something? Do you get it? To reveal his son in me. God wanted to reveal his son in Paul that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I was conferred not with flesh and blood. Here's the point. Once Paul walked into his design of destiny and quit, he didn't fight it. God set him, he was called up. He was called up. He got revelation. What was Paul going to do? He was going to preach the gospel according to verse 16. Second question, what was he going to do with Paul? It says in verse 16, he was going to reveal his son that he might preach among the heathen. And immediately he was confirmed. Listen, here's what he's saying. I promise you, if you want to be caught up in the Spirit, just start sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone. That's all you got to do. That's it. And there you go. The words, he'll fill your mouth. You can also see that you can just feed the poor. And that's preaching Jesus Christ. That's preaching the gospel. We'll get into that. Feed the poor. That's giving the gospel. What happens to you? You'll get caught up. You'll get this old fuzzy feeling. You'll walk around with a smile on your face. Look like you just had something sweet to eat. And you feel so good, you're embarrassed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You just feel so good, you're embarrassed. You just got that old sloppy look on your face that you love everybody. Feed the poor. You do gospel stuff and you get caught up in the Spirit. Paul was showing us that. Let's look at it again. Verse 17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were apostles before me, but I went up to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Do you see that one? If you're in your observation worksheets, I want you to circle Arabia. Circle Arabia in your or in your Bible. Out beside that, put number one. And returned again into Damascus. Circle Damascus. Then put number two. Verse 18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. Circle Jerusalem. Put number three. To see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none except James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Verse 21. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria. Circle Syria. Put number four. Circle Syria. Put number four. And Cilicia. Circle that. And put number five. Now, could he make all of those destinations that he spoke about in four verses in one day? No. He's talking about a lot of time here. He says it in four verses, but this is significant. Verse 22. And was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. Verse 23. But they had heard only that he who persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God. You see that? All right, you get all those things marked? Now also, in your workbook, if you will look on page 28, look on page 28 of your workbook, please. Page 28 of your workbooks. Again, if you don't have a workbook and would like one, just leave your name at the back and we will see that you have one next week. Page 28 of your workbook, you will see their sequence of events in Paul's life after his conversion. Do you see that? You see that right there? Now, this sequence of events is the paper that I gave you, sequence of events in Paul's life after his conversion. You see those notes that you picked up this morning? Now, I would like for you to take those notes of the sequence of events, and I would like for you to really study those, read those this week. Read them and read them. You'll go through Paul's life. It's very important that you understand Paul's life. These are the sequence of events before the Apostle Paul's first missionary journey. Okay? The sequence of events before Paul's first missionary journey. Now, what you need to understand and to consider, do you think that God equipped the Apostle Paul before his first missionary journey? Of course he did. So I want you to look at these things, and I want you to underline in this sequence of events, as you're reading them and studying, I want you to underline everything in there that you can compare to yourself. Where it says Paul, put your name. The sequence of events will parallel your life. Sequence of events will parallel your life. You've got to understand, the Apostle Paul is the 13th apostle. They didn't need but 12. You just needed 12 apostles. How many tribes of Israel are there? 12. You just need 12 apostles to sit on the throne with Jesus Christ in the book of Luke that will rule and reign from Jerusalem. Jesus will sit there and the 12 apostles will be with him, ruling and reigning right out of Jerusalem. But we got a problem. We got the Apostle Paul, number 13. We don't have 13 chairs. Why the 13th apostle and he doesn't have a seat? It's because of the book of Galatians and Ephesians. You're going to see it in the book of Ephesians. I'm not going to tell you right now. I want you to come back. Now, let's go to the next one. Now, I want us to look. You see there that the Apostle Paul was called from his mother's womb. He was set apart. Now, turn right quickly to the book of Ephesians. I'm going to cheat here just a little. We're going to go to the book of Ephesians, the book we'll study here in a few weeks. In Ephesians chapter 1, let's look at it in let's go 1 through 5. Turn in your Bibles, next book to the over, Galatians, Ephesians, chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings where? In heavenly places in whom? Listen, if you're going to buy something from Walmart and you want to go to pick it up, where do you have to go to get it? You got to go to Walmart. If you want to pick up your blessings, where you got to go? Heavenly places. Right? We're going to cover that in Ephesians. I'm not going to tell you how you get there. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him. You see how many people see that? Underline, according as he hath chosen us in him. Underline, chosen us in him. Before the foundations of the world. Underline, before the foundations of the world. that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, when I got born again, I had a choice to make, heaven or hell. Wow, big choice, right? If I had to do all over again, I'd choose Christ. Would you? Have you not noticed that within, here's the point. God chose you before you chose him. God's been after you the whole time. And after he chose you, and then after you chose him, he's still choosing you, whether you keep choosing him or not. Now, who's going to win that fight? So if you feel like in your, it works like this. You can say, but Alan, I don't like my life. You just don't understand. I want to change my life. I'm going to use this little idea here. Please don't take it wrong. I like to throw in just enough so I can twist you just a little bit. Let's say God's a poker dealer. You're sitting down at a table of life playing poker. God deals you 5 cards. Do you have anything to do with the cards that you're dealt? Not a thing. It's your life. But here's where you come in. It's up to you how you play your hand of cards if you're going to win the game or not. Are you with me? Did I lose you? Everybody sitting in here, you've got your life and the things that are in it. Most of them you didn't choose. That's right. It's your life. A lot of you sitting in here, you got things in your life you want to throw away and you want to say, to heck with it, I've had all of them I can stand. I'm sorry, it's still your card. You don't understand, my mama's driving me crazy. I don't care, it's still your card. Well, my kids are driving me crazy. I don't care, it's still your card. It wasn't mine, it was yours. I got enough. I got 5. Point being, things in your life, God dealt the cards of life where you are. It's just the way it is. But it's up to you how you play your cards. Now, sometimes you'll throw down a card and say, hit me, God, I want a different card and I don't like that. And he'll give you another, but it won't be as good as the last one. That's right. Come on. That's true. God, you don't want to play cards with God. You can ante up everything you got and you're going to lose. That's the point. You got to lose with God. Quit fighting the hand that life has dealt you. Just quit it. Get that hand up that God gave you and you play that hand and make it a winning hand. You can say, well, a 2's not very good. Might not be, but 4 of them will get a whole lot done. That's right. If you're playing rook, God's a rook. He'll trump it all. That's right. Quit fighting the life that God has dealt you. Quit it. Pick it up. Win life with it. Win every one of them. Go on to the next hand. You can throw that one down, try to get a better one, it'll be a worse one. That's not in the Bible. I don't know where that can come from. You'll have to test it. Now, where am I? We were reading Galatians. Let's go on. I've lost my place playing poker with God. Psalms 139, verses 1 through 17. I'm not going to do that one. Here's my point in that scripture in Ephesians. My point is, God chose you before you chose him. God chose you before you chose him. Before the foundations of the world, God dealt you your hand of life that you got right now. He's given you a Bible. He's given you the Holy Spirit. Jesus died because you got a bad hand. But he says, you can win with a bad hand if you'll follow me and go by my book. That's what he says. And if you'll do that, you'll have revival. You don't get revival by getting a better hand. You get a revival by winning with a bad hand. I felt that and come in right through the back door, Ray. You must be back there with it. Couldn't say it again if I had to, but it's the truth. I'm not going to read Psalm 17 because I got to move on. Day 4. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. I can tell I'm not going to get anywhere here. Acts chapter 9. Now, this is Paul's conversion. Now, you got to understand something here in Acts 9, verse 1. Are you there in your Bibles? Acts 9, verse 1. I got 4 minutes. This is Acts 9, verse 1. You got to understand what happened to the Apostle Paul when you do Galatians and Ephesians. Paul was dealt a hand. Paul was given the hand. He was born into he knew the law. He was a Judaizer. Look at it, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. You see that one? The Apostle Paul was given permission to go get Christians and bring them in. Now, verse 3, and he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Or the goads, some translations say. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now here's the first thing the Apostle Paul did. Paul had enough sense to say, Lord. See that one? Lord, what do I do? So the first thing that he did was he responded correctly to the voice of the Lord. That is important, to respond correctly to the voice of the Lord. If you keep getting the same voice, if the Lord keeps saying it over and over and over again, it's because your previous response still wasn't getting the job done. How many people have had the Lord repeat something to you over and over and over? The Lord says, well, the last response wasn't right. Let's do it again. Let's do it over. And have you not noticed that this being conformed into the image of Christ hurts? I mean, come on, somebody. He's not molding me. He's doing me with a hammer and a chisel. He is conforming us into his image. So there we have Paul's conversion. I don't have time. Paul's conversion there. Day 5, you go into Acts 9, 26 through 30. Let's turn right quickly. Look at verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed him not. Now, here's what I want you to see. In Galatians, you will have, Paul will visit Jerusalem 2 times. I'll give you these notes next week, but I want you to understand in your workbook what's happening here. Paul visits Jerusalem 2 times. First time he goes to Peter and them, he says, hey guys, I got to talk to something about you here. And he says, listen, I'm preaching the grace of God and I don't know what you're going to think about it. Peter said to Paul gave Peter his message of grace, and Peter said, oh, Paul, I don't know. You're kind of getting out there a little bit. But then Peter went on to say, and I don't have time to develop it. I wish I could. Peter goes on to say, but you know what? Paul went around doing miracles. So by the very fact that Paul did miracles, it convinced Peter that Paul was a disciple, an apostle of God. Why? He had the signs of an apostle. I tell people I'm not an apostle. People say, well, how are you an apostle? I know I'm not an apostle. I hadn't done any miracles. Now, I want to. If I ever get one, I'm going to tell you. I want to. I've seen Jesus do a lot of them. I've seen him do them. You see, it's not required by me any longer. It was for a while that I could lay hands on somebody and they get healed or something. And for some reason, my thinking, I thought if I could experience that, then I'd know it was real. Or then I stood back and said, well, you know what? I don't have to have it. And I started looking around me and I was seeing miracles everywhere. And you know what I noticed? I noticed there were miracles going on, and where a true miracle happened, I couldn't assign it to a person. You ever notice that? I mean, we'll pray, lay hands, we'll do all that. But listen, when I've been in the heart and the heat of revival, we're worshiping God, things are going on, all of a sudden we're like popcorn. Somebody gets healed or something over there. Something. I'm all for words of knowledge and all that. But when that thing's really hitting, it just goes to happening. You're worshiping God. You're doing all of this stuff. People are getting running down to the front and getting born again. Well, we didn't even give invitation yet. You need to get up and go back. Look, listen, when God's on the scene, things start happening. People get saved. People get healed. What do? We worship God. More people get saved. More people get healed. People get set free. What do? We worship God. The temptation is for us to give a word for God. What? Who are we to give a word for God? And God's in the house. You give the word for God when the spiritual level's low. The higher the level gets, the more we hush. Just worship God. Have you ever noticed if you come up and give a word right when that thing's strong and God's moving, things are happening, if you give a word right then, you're going to kill it. I'm just telling you the truth. Is that all right? You still love me? Is it a good time to give the words? Yes. But it's on the front side of the wave. It's not on the back side of the wave. Sometimes the Lord will move in the gifts and have somebody say this. That's fine. But understand, if God starts moving, you back up. You don't need more of them. If God's in the house, God's speaking for himself, he doesn't need a mouthpiece. Are we there? So as we're worshiping God, have you ever been in here, and I call it the voice of many waters, and I'm going over my time. Y'all going to miss your eggs. When the Spirit of God starts moving, and we start worshiping, all of a sudden I start hearing this sound. It's people worshiping God. But all of a sudden, the sound of the worshipers starts getting kind of scary. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's the voice of many waters. That thing starts moving. The only thing I can tell you when that happens, if the Lord's telling you to come down here to pray for somebody or to go over here or whatever, if you're needing healing, when that thing's moving like that, you just talk to God. You don't need a high priest. You just go right in there. Rest of us will fall on our face. That thing gets too thick. I've been there. You're scared to raise your head up and much less have a word. My grannies, God's in the house and we just worship him. And I've got to hush and I didn't get nothing done. Do your homework for next week. We'll pick back up here next week, same time, same channel. And hey, remember this today as we come back in for worship. Today's Father's Day and God's our Heavenly Father. And we want to honor all the fathers. But what if we came in here today and honored our Father, Heavenly Father? I wonder what that'd be like. Through our worship and through our praise. Let's just say Happy Father's Day, God. And let's look at each other and say, God, I think you've done a good job over there. I think you've done a good job over there. Can we do that? I'm going to hush. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for today. We honor you, God, on Father's Day. For being such a wonderful Father and redeeming us. And we love you, Papa. As Ron says, we love you, Papa. Thank you for saving a bunch of sinners like us and turning us into saints and at least giving us enough sense to know how to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go get you a chicken egg and come back in ready to go do something.